Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast of The Secret is Prayer. And today we'll be going over the Gospel of John. And today's title is The Good Shepherd. Lauren, you want to get us started?
Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us here today and letting us learn your word, open our hearts and our minds, and so that we understand and that we share it as you would want us to share it. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Short and sweet.
Perfect.
Yep.
Okay, so we're back with John, and we're doing chapter 9 and 10. I'm going to read a little bit of chapter 9 of the scripture, but then I'm going to jump right into 10, because I think there's a lot more in 10. That I want to read. So in chapter 9, it's the sixth sign. Jesus is doing his earthly ministry, and he's heals a man that was born blind. So I'll start with chapter 9. As he was passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus answered. "This came about so that God's works might be displayed in him. We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After he said these things, he spit on the ground, made some mud from the saliva, and spread the mud on his eyes. "Go," he told them, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he left, washed, and came back seeing. So here, and I just want to point out that, like, here in 9 and in 10, you're going to see that Jesus keeps his composure. He never gets upset or like, he doesn't react, angry or anything like that, because here they're still rejecting him and they're still not believing him. I mean, here he is on his sixth sign, and we're going to see how they're still not believing him. So he healed the people are asking, why was this man blind? Why was he born blind? Like, who sinned? Did he sin or did his parents sin? But Jesus tells them, he doesn't give them much on that. Like, he doesn't spend a lot of time trying to explain that. He tells them, kind of like, we're not going to focus on that. We're going to focus on the healing, And I think we do that all the time, because we assume or speculate or try and figure out. We spend a lot of time trying to figure out why this happened. And we can get lost there, because we're trying to either blame somebody or just trying to figure it out ourselves. Because I know that I spent a long time trying to figure things out and piece everything together. And
I still do.
Well, right. And it's hard not to do that. But when, my journey first started out, man, I spent a lot of time trying to piece everything together and how I got to where I got. And this is the perfect example of that. Like, what did I do, or what did, someone else do, or how did this happen? How and why did this happen? And here Jesus is telling the people not to focus on that, that it wasn't because he sinned or his parents sinned. And as we know, if you've read Job, that was a spiritual war that was going on and that he didn't know about, so that's a perfect example of, we don't know everything that's going on, and we do live in a fallen world, and there's going to be a lot of things that we don't understand, but we should always show, love and mercy towards other people. And here too, that it presented the space, because then he goes in and what he says, that it's so that the works of God can be done. And so it created the space for that, that this was a perfect opportunity. What we might see as really ugly and evil, that's a perfect opportunity for God to work. you know, and we shouldn't dwell so much on the evil, but like, okay, God, what can you show me here? You know what? Show me something here, or show yourself here, and how this can be turned into good, because God promises to turn all of the bad into good, to use all the bad and turn it into good.
And this is like our lessons as well. We can learn from it and see, this is where our faith builds too, right?
Yeah. Yep. There's always something to, I believe that there's always something to learn in those things, in those instances, in those bad situations, and not only to see God, but to learn from him. And to focus, you know, what are on what God can do, because the things that we think that are impossible, it's when, you know, God shines the most. And right. here we already in chapter 9, we already start seeing, you know, more of that when Jesus comes, there's division. It's already causing division between the people, because one of the interesting things that Tony says is that nobody's on the fence, you know, that they're either believers or they're not. And that's true. Like nowhere in scripture that I remember that anybody's on the fence, you know, that they're either rejecting him or they're believing in him. And that's what we see today too.
Right, and the hardest part is a lot of the division is even in our own families, you know?
Especially, I think, in our own families is where we see it the most, I think, you know?
Yeah, I do too.
And here in chapter 9, too, Jesus could have chosen any day to heal this man, but he chooses the Sabbath and... But it's when he calls them out too, because they're like, why are you healing on, why are you working on the Sabbath? Like they're still trying to find any excuse to get him in trouble, to accuse him. And so they use that excuse. And I think that's a perfect example too of how, you know, there's so much going against us, you know, even when we're trying to do good. And are we willing to step outside of that? Because, you know, when he's telling them, when they call the healed man to give his testimony, even his parents are afraid to testify because they don't believe that he was blind. So they ask the parents, is it true that he was blind? And the parents tell him, well, ask him. He's of age. Ask him, because they didn't want to get in trouble because they could get kicked out of the synagogue. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even then the fear of stepping up and testifying, or that they believed that was Jesus, people didn't. You know, they just go along.
Right.
So, and you know, and the man, when they ask him who healed you, and he doesn't know Jesus, he just says, it's Jesus healed me. And then, and they ask him, do you believe that he is the Messiah? And he says, all I know is that I was blind and now I see. So, and that reminds me of, like, you know, you don't have to defend the Bible, you know? So a lot of times we feel like we have to defend it, and we don't. We, you know, should speak on what we know and what we believe is true, and then leave it at that, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, moving on to chapter 10, the Good Shepherd. Truly, I tell you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. Jesus gave them this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. And you know, here when he's talking about the sheep, and I don't think I ever thought about it this way, he's talking about his disciples. He's talking about his disciples. His own people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, his his own people and those that are disciples, because I think here he was talking about those that were the 12 that were following him, you know?
Right.
And of course, now as we go and we begin our own discipleship, then, you know, then that's us too. So
that's what I was going to say, because in the beginning, when I'm learning the Gospels and reading the Bible, it was confusing to me. I didn't understand anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it comes later where I think it's true. Once you start reading it and you start trusting God and you start asking him, open my mind for this. And it does, it will start popping out and you'll be like, oh, that's what he's talking about. You know?
Right. Right. And he knows his disciples, you know, like if we speak of the 12, they were, you know, they became experts of discerning. So they knew his voice, you know, and they knew how to tell between Jesus and those that were speaking lies. Because he says the sheep follow him because they know his voice. So they knew when the truth was being spoken, you know, versus the priests, the ones that were saying lies. And then he says, Jesus said again, truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. You know, and those that follow him, you will have that pasture. You know, you will find pasture. You will find that peace. You will find joy, you know, and contentment. And that'll be in abundance. And I think we've said that over and over, how we can say that we were there, you know, where we find that peace and that joy, even with the chaos that's going around, you know, around us. And
that's what's hard. I think when we're in the middle of chaos, I think sometimes it's hard to find that peace, but that's something we really have to choose, right? We have to just be like, you know what?
Yes.
We're not going to let it bother us, because sometimes I still struggle with that, you know?
I'm struggling right now. Well, the Lord had to say, Banana. I'm like, I'm trying.
But it's hard. It really is hard.
Yeah. It's hard. It's something that, but you can, yes, you just have to pull yourself out of it.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's like trying to not panic and there's a tornado just spinning around you, you know, and you're trying not to get sucked into that.
Yeah.
And hold your ground and stand firm.
Yeah. And I think we talked about like joy, you know, people think, okay, where's the happiness? You're supposed to be happy, go lucky, you know, when you become a Christian, but we have to choose joy because we are saved and we will get to have eternal life with Jesus, you know, and that's what we have to focus on instead of focusing on our problems. And it's hard to do. Cause like I said, you know, right now I'm in the middle of some chaos too. And I'm just like, show me your hand, God, please.
Right. And what
did you tell me, Lauren? What did you think the devil was just going to hug you?
Cause she's like, I can't believe this. And then I go, oh, did you think the devil was going to comfort and cuddle you?
I said, no, but I expected Jesus to.
Exactly.
That's and it's like, he is there, but you know, it's a lesson. He's teaching us to be stronger. And I was like,
it is a lesson. Yeah, it is. It's a choice and it's hard. And, you know, but I think, Lorena, you said it before, you know, God is real. He is here and we have to rest in him. You know?
Right. And I think it's just too like, gathering yourself, you know, to where you can focus on those thoughts instead of letting those other, you know, thoughts take over, because they are there, but it's rejecting those and choosing the truth, because a lot of that is all lies, right? It's all lies. And like it says here, he comes to steal, kill and destroy, you know, mm-hmm. But the truth is that, you know, we are Jesus' disciples. We are his sheep, you know, and he does, you know, we're going to see here later in the chapter where he says no one is able to snatch us out of our Father's hand, you know, so right. we're okay. We're good. And it's just reminding ourselves of that, because if we go by what we see and what we feel, then yeah, it's hard not to panic and run, you know?
Right. But it's comforting knowing that even his disciples, his 12 that walked with him every day, they were a bit confused too. And I'm sure their anxieties would hit too. And I'm sure they were confused or, you know, felt that anxious, like, you know, just the anxiety, I'm sure, you know? So it's comforting knowing they had him and they still felt like we did.
And they still felt, yeah.
Yeah.
And they had each other. And I guess this is what I like about the Chosen, that they would show them, you know, just talking like regular
together.
You know,
women. So that's where we should all stick. That's why they say Christians should stick together too.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Because it is,
and we're never alone, you know, we're never
the
alone.
The enemy is using, it's real things that, you know, that, right. he's using. So it's hard not to, you know, just to let go of that, but you have
right. Cause it is happening. So it's more like in spite of those things, yeah, you know, because they are yeah. Because it is, they are happening, you know, and we do feel that fear and all of that, right. But in the same way, like Peter, you know, he felt that fear when he denied Jesus. So it's hard not to feel those things, but I think it's as long as we always return to him. And I think we get stronger as we face more of those trials and tribulations, then, you know, we get firmer, you know, in our stand, and it's a little bit easier to bounce back to Jesus, to, hey, he's got me, I'm good, you know, okay, I'll be okay.
And I think the ultimate goal is to get to where that scripture says that you will not be shaken, you know, to the point where, like, and sometimes it's
where you would lose your faith, yeah.
I'm fine, but damn it, does the devil not know how to get you, you know, each and every time.
Right.
Something new is like, he knows.
Oh, he's very clever, very clever.
Yes. He knows you. He's a sign. I think it was today that the devil has his workers, because he's not omnipresent, so he can't be everywhere. So he's got his workers. So he's got people assigned on you, you know, but then so does God. God has his angels. That's what the one I sent you, Lord, in the
angels. Oh, yesterday. Right.
You know, there too. And that's where your spiritual warfare is, you know.
Right,
going on that we don't see is one telling you this and God telling you this, so it's like you have to choose the good, you know, the
right. And another good one too that I heard was to remind the enemy that, hey, when he tries to scare you about your future, remind them of his, you know. Remind them of his, that he has no future.
He has no future. No, nope, he's gonna be thrown into the fire.
Yep. Right?
That was the Revelation says. No, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you got me right there, but you're going to hell.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly. I'm gonna remember that too for myself. I'm like, that's right, do that, but I gotta do it for myself too.
And that's what, right? We need to learn why it's good to learn scripture so we can preach to ourselves, because you know we need it, and it's an everyday struggle, you know. Everyday struggle and an everyday fight.
Say, you know, it doesn't matter where you are in faith. I think no matter if you're infant or if you are like years
mature,
you can easily just fall for the flesh of the emotions, you know, and then be like, darn it, why did this, fall for this again, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah.
And then, you know, and here too, when he's talking about his sheep, and when he says that there's only one entrance, you know, there's only one door into his ministry. And that's part of learning, you know, what we're talking about, and learning to get to that place where we're not so easily, you know, shaken, and where we can get back up and return to Jesus. And that's what he's talking about here, that there's only one entrance, and it's through him, and that he sees who responds and who is obedient to his teachings, and, you know, who he knows our hearts, and who's gonna, you know, that good leadership, and that's gonna share his gospel. He knows that, and so he wants a relationship and has a relationship with his sheep, you know. Right. he knows us, and too, that he will go before his sheep, you know. He's protecting them because he is the good shepherd. You know, a bad shepherd wouldn't guard the door, you know.
And I don't think he'd leave the 99 for the one.
Right. I don't think so either. I don't think so either. And I think that, you know, to him that the sheep are just the bad shepherd, you know, the sheep are just sheep, you know, it's mm-hmm. not, they're not like his children. I think a good shepherd is his sheep, like his children. And and his sheep, you know, he says over and over how his sheep know him. And I think that's where we're getting to where we were at some, you know, when we look back, we didn't know him, not like we know him now, you know? So, and now we can say, hey, we know him and we recognize his voice.
Right. Right.
Okay. So then I am the good shepherd. And he says, I am the good shepherd here several times. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired hand and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep, but I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd. So then there he's saying, because you have the flock, but you can have different sheepfolds or different pens, sheep pens, you know? And I think, I was thinking maybe that's like the Baptists, you know. I was wondering, because I read one commentary where it said that it's only where somebody had said, I should have gotten the name, that it was only the Catholics, but it's like, that's not true.
That what?
So I'm confused. That it's only the, like, you have to be a Catholic or you're not gonna, you know, you're not a part of his flock, because he says, I have one flock, but there's different folds. So you can have, you know how they separate the sheep in different pens, pens, but it's one flock. So say he has the 100 sheep and he can have 25 here, 25 there, 25
like
over
25
there.
Catholics, 25 Baptists,
yeah.
25 Pentecostal. Okay.
So yeah, and he's saying, well, and here in scripture he was talking about the Gentiles, you know, that it wasn't going to just be the Jews, because then they thought, you know, the Jews thought that it was only them that would be saved. And so here's talking about the Gentiles. And I think now it's maybe it's like the different religions, you know, because we're all one flock. All those that believe in Jesus are all one flock, but they can come from different
Christianity.
Right. And they can come from different.
I'm sure Jesus still sees it the same, you know, like,
oh yeah.
And like, we're the ones that are pointing out the different religions, but I think for him, maybe he just sees it as we're all, like you said, if we're all Christian, then we're just all one complete. I don't even know. Do you think he would still say my people, the Jewish, and then the Gentiles?
No, because he doesn't say specific. He just, it's not specific. He just says there's several pens. But it's all one flock. Like, I see you all, you know, see you might come from different areas, but I see you all as one flock. Like, I see
that can even mean for like right now in this generation too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it, you know, if we look at it now in this day and age, because it's not us and the Gentiles, I think it's like you can come from anywhere. Yeah. I think it's more like religion, and because it's not so much how you worship, but that you believe in Jesus Christ. Because to, you know, the unity of he speaks of unity, like it's all one flock, but the unity is not that they all do it the same, but it's the loyalty to Jesus. And I thought that was a good point, that it's the unity is the loyalty to Jesus, you know?
Oh, I like
that. Yeah, because even in the Bible, like when he saw the Samaritan woman, they worshiped a different way, or they had different rituals and stuff. But he didn't pay attention to that. He just paid attention.
Right.
Like, Do you know me?
That's a good example. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you believe? Because I don't know if she was the only one or one of the few that he actually said, no, she wasn't the only one, was one of the few that he said that I am the Messiah, because he didn't tell everybody that I am the, the Messiah. But to her, he tells her, I am he.
Well, he didn't say it to Nathaniel, but I mean, he kind of made it pretty clear, like, I saw you under the fig tree.
Right. Right. And so because he knew already, like, who would be who, those that would believe in him and those that wouldn't. So it didn't matter where you came from. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because like here, they keep telling him, as I keep reading, they tell the Jews around him. And they tell him, why don't you just tell us plainly that you're the Messiah? And he's like, I've already told you and you don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to where he told the Samaritan woman and look how quickly she believed when he told Nathaniel, look how quickly he believed. And he tells her, you know, you're going to see greater things that you believe just because I told you I saw you under the fig tree and you believe. And here I am doing all these miracles and all these signs for the Jews and the priests and all of them, and they still don't believe.
But you know what I was in the gospel for the 12, I think it is in the gospel of John, even one of his followers didn't want to believe until he saw, Thomas, the one that wanted to see the piercings. Even one of his disciples, I don't know if he truly believed, because when they told him he's resurrected, he's like, well, I got to put my hand in his side and I got to see, mm-hmm. Where the nails were.
Right. Right. Yep. No, I think for sure that there was doubt there. But I think the good thing about Thomas is that after he did see that, he believed,
right?
You know?
Yes.
To where the priest would have probably, because even the blind man, when he healed the blind man, they're like, well, was he even really blind?
Right.
So they'll probably see Jesus and with the holes in his hands and all that stuff and be like, well, that they could say, oh, he has a demon, or oh, he's this and that, because they kept, you know, finding reasons not to believe. Right.
Yep.
So, and then he says this is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. And I thought that was, I didn't have that highlighted or underlined in my Bible. This is why the Father loves me, because I thought of my girls with their dad, like when they were little, and they would run to him and they knew that they didn't doubt that their father loved them, And I think that we can all have this. When Jesus points that out here, this is why my Father loves me. I think that when we can be obedient to God, when we can, be Jesus here on earth, when people can see Jesus through us and our acts and what we do, when we show compassion, when we love, when we show mercy, that we can have that, where we will feel God's love, and that we can say, this is why the Father loves me,
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does. Where is that? And
that's in
what verse?
It's scripture. It's chapter 10, 17.
Okay, I'm going to highlight that too. I don't think I have it.
No, because I think when we can put our selfishness aside, when we can put ourselves, our lives aside for others, that God can see those, that our character is like Jesus, that we're trying to be, all things holy, that we can assure that our Father loves us,
Yeah.
Like, I think that's for everybody. Like, everybody has that opportunity to have that.
And it's hard because not everybody wants to see it still though,
Right. Like a proud father, like have that proud mm-hmm. father. Like it's,
I try and share it with my kids all the time. And sometimes, one of my daughters will want to talk about Jesus, or she'll want to, listen. But then other times, she came into my room and I was listening to Christian music and she's like, yeah, I'm out of here. I was like, wow, don't you want to hear my music? I'm just like, but I mean, I guess when she's ready,
Yeah. Right. Yep.
Because we were there before. So that's the thing.
Yeah.
Not being patient.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll keep going. So Jesus at the Festival of Dedication. So the Festival of Dedication was like the how you say Hanukkah?
Was it that?
It was Hanukkah.
The festival of dedication.
Oh yeah, it was Hanukkah.
Hanukkah.
It was. Yeah. Yep.
They called it that before they changed it to Hanukkah.
Right. They didn't call it. Yeah. Hanukkah is today. So then the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem and it was winter. Jesus was walking in the temple in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews surrounded him and asked, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, then just tell us plainly." And I did tell you, and you don't believe, Jesus answered them. "The works that I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you don't believe because you are not of my sheep." And so I was like, aha, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one.
How comforting is that?
I know. I was like, oh man, that's beautiful. They choose not to believe. Oh, go ahead, Yvette.
Oh, I was going to say, because I worried about that. Like if I sin, is he going to turn his back on me if I fall away from him? But reading that and knowing that, it brings comfort, because as long as I repent, as long as I go back to him,
as long as we return to him, and
Tony
points out too, that means that even if we get so tired or that we feel so weak, that our hand goes limp, that we let go, he will not let go of us.
Yes.
Kind of like today, Nina. You were talking about today.
That's what I said. He was there.
Oh, let go.
That's what I said. I know you're here, but I know it's like a good father. He has to teach you, you got to learn.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And so even in all of that, he remains cool. He remains calm, And right. And he never stops doing his ministry, and that's where we need to get. That's what we need to work at.
Right.
And then so renewed efforts to stone Jesus. So again, the Jews pick up rocks to stone him. Jesus replied, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these works are you stoning me?" "We aren't stoning you for a good work," the Jews answered, "but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Isn't it written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If he called those whom the word of God came to gods and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say you are blaspheming to the one the Father set apart and sent into the world? Because I said, 'I am the Son of God.'" This one, I had a hard time understanding it, but what they're saying, because in Exodus and Psalm 82, the earthly judges were called gods. And so Jesus is saying, y'all had no problem calling them gods, but I come and say that I am the Son of God, and y'all are saying that that's blasphemy. Y'all want to stone me, and y'all are saying that that's blasphemy.
I never noticed that about the
judges. I know, me either. Yep. So in Psalm 82 and in the Exodus, the earthly judges were called gods because they were judging the people. But it's like, I don't have a problem calling anybody else God, but I come and say I'm the Son of God, or that I am with God and that God sent me, and y'all want to stone me.
Yeah.
So like they were going like out of their way just to, anything and everything just to not believe him and to not have others believe in him.
Right. And it's so hard to be like, man, I can't believe it. But then we have to remember the scriptures had to be fulfilled,
Right.
That's the hard part of grasping, just like how we are. How could God allow that to happen in our lives? And then we think like, wow, look what he allowed for his son to go through.
Yeah. Right. And still he was in control. It wasn't because caught right. him and killed him and crucified him. It was because he laid down his life, you know? Mm. So, and that's what we have to remember too, that even in the most, you know, in the worst things, in the worst situations, that God is in control. And if it happened, then it's because he allowed it to happen, and that he will turn, you know, what's bad into good.
Right. Right.
So many beyond the Jordan believe in Jesus. So he departed again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptized earlier, and he remained there. Many came to him and said, John never did a sign, but everything John said about this man was true. And many believed him there. So still, you know, he kept doing his ministry, and there were many that believed in him.
Right.
But, you know, I think too that those that didn't believe in him, like, there was nothing that Jesus could have done that was going to make them believe. They already had it in their hearts that they weren't going to believe, you know. Nothing okay. was going to change their hearts.
No.
And that's so it hard. That's 9 and 10.
And that's so hard, because man, I think like that, like, how lucky were they? They had him walking mm-hmm. with him side by side, you know. I was listening to one of Tony's podcasts, The Bold Belief. And he was talking about the woman who had the 12 years of bleeding, and how she would just think, like, if I can only touch his tassel on his robe, on his, you know, I don't even know what they called them, like the robe that he wore, you know. And I was thinking, listening to it, I was thinking, like, wow, if I could only touch, you know,
right.
like his shoulder or his hair, or something, you know. It's like, wow, to think, how could they not believe, you know?
I know. And like for us, and, you know, and I thank Jesus every day that we are where we are, and that we did believe, and that we did ask for more understanding, and that we stayed in it, you know, that we stayed in it, and that we kept trying to read and learn, because and that all the signs that he sent us, we did believe him, because he sent us and still does many right. signs, you know. And so that we're his sheep, that we made it into his flock.
I think we're proof that he didn't let us go. You know, that
yeah.
we're actually proof that he didn't let us go, because we were lost and right. We didn't see him back then, and now we do.
Right. And don't, because, you know, like he says, it only takes that mustard seed size of faith.
Right.
You know, so
move a mountain.
Mm-hmm. So just like hang on to that and ask him to help you, because they could have said, like the other man, the other servant, help, you know, help my unbelief, help me with my unbelief. And they mm-hmm. didn't, you know, they just kept coming back with no. And it's like, man, please don't ever let me be that way.
And it's so easy to fall off, you know, especially if you have a hard day and everything's going wrong, and you feel like his covering is just lifted off of you, and you're just like, wow, like anything and everything that can go wrong goes wrong. Yeah. And yeah. It's like, okay, we're gonna go to sleep, wake up the next day. And like for us, you know, going to mass on Sunday and hearing the homily was great, and it's almost like a comfort is back over, and you're like, yeah. Okay, now I can honestly say I can literally feel what it was like on Saturday without his covering to Sunday where he covered us again, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
I know I probably sound crazy to the listeners, you know, but it's true, like you can really feel where, and I think
alone and then lost. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. you can feel it's easy to it's easier to fall into that than it is right. to the good, right? Like we always exactly. default to that, you know. It's easier to default to that fear and that panic than right. to the, hey, it's okay, he's got me, you know?
Yeah.
So, exactly. But I think that's normal, and that's a given, you know, because we are only human. So I think as long as we return to him, and to do that check, you know, check your heart, you know, do the one that we keep saying, the Psalm, which one is it?
51?
No. 51 or 52.
Oh, the search me?
Yeah, search yes. my heart, uh-huh. you know, so that we don't fall into that, because it happens, you know, the enemy is very clever, and we have to constantly be checking that, you know.
And that's
where's our faith,
right? Right. And I think that's where the armor of God, we have to remember to just, you know, put that armor on and remember the scripture. And for me, I always go to my Bible. It's so comforting for me. And it's just, you know, it's great to open it and then just see the words, I am here. That's, you know, the Lord's declaration. Mm-hmm. I'm just, thank you. I feel better. Thank you. You are here. You know,
it's like, yes, yes, you are here.
I didn't quite feel you, but I'm glad you're here.
Yes. Or it could be a song, or it could be someone telling you something that you know, okay, yes, you exactly. are. You're here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
Yep, and but, this is yeah. why the Father loves me. So remember that. The and Father loves me. All. He loves you. Yes. Yep, the Father loves you.
But do you have a prayer?
I
or
do.
A scripture?
I do. And actually, it's on the 1 John. So the first book of John, because there's three small books. The first book of John, second chapter, and I'll be reading verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possession is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world with its lust is passing away. But the one who does the will of God remains forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Well, thank you everyone for joining us, and we'll see you next week.